Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the NerdWatch podcast. I am G Money. It is the end of November. Another week has passed and Thanksgiving is over. I hope everybody's had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I'm G Money. I am joined by four other very strapping young men with me. Very manly and
young.
Yeah, well, not that young.
What does strapping mean anyway?
I'm not really sure.
It's like they always got to add that part.
Yeah. Do you? Well, I don't want to hear it from you. Anyway, I am joined by. Let me make intros first.
Let him at least get through a shit.
Yeah, let me get my shit.
Come on. He gets to call us all strap-ons, and then like we don't get to say anything back.
He's such an idiot.
That's anyway, messed up.
We are joined by.
Are we restarting the show?
No. Welcome. No, I'm just kidding. To my right is the one and only punk rock superstar Gannon is in the house, horror aficionado. We got a lot to talk to him about. Scary also, to his right is the one and only Todd Bernardi, the local comic book artist extraordinaire.
Hasn't made a contribution since 2015.
That's correct. And then to his right is the man we like to call Format, the gaming guru himself. I hope you had a chance to pick up Final Fantasy 15. It just came out today.
I saw screenshots.
I've been watching videos myself. And then last but not least, ladies and gentlemen, the chairman of the comic book board, Alika, is in the house tonight as well. Alika, how you doing, sir?
Good.
Are you putting drugs in your drink there?
Pencil shavings.
Oh, pencil shavings.
In an empty cup.
Oh, it looked like
you
a pill.
You know how you can get off a pencil shaving?
Yeah, but you could.
Not at all.
He's very hungry.
Yeah.
All that nature.
So, listen, let's talk about everybody's Thanksgiving here in a second, but I do want to ask you this, Gannon. Well, how's your album recording going?
We didn't start yet.
What were you guys doing in a studio? You just taking pictures on
Instagram?
What were
those pictures
that
about?
Was Smoke Solidarity recording.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And, the majority start December 18th.
Okay.
So we're planning to have a record out by March.
Nice. How was your Thanksgiving?
I ate food. Lots of it.
Lots of it?
Yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. What kind of food?
The same thing you probably ate, like turkey and stuffing. And
okay.
Mashed potatoes.
Okay. Did you celebrate with family, friends?
Family and work friends, yeah.
Cool. Todd, what about you, sir? How was your...
Are you off of me already? That was rude. You just cut me off I wasn't being very interested.
No, it wasn't Todd.
You know, his story is not going to be any more interesting than mine.
That's true.
Hey, excuse me. He's talking to me.
Shut your lips.
Todd, how was your Thanksgiving, sir?
It was fantastic.
Good.
It wasn't as good as Gannon's, though.
What'd you do?
I went to Samoana.
Did you, on Thanksgiving.
Isn't that a fictional place?
Really? Yeah. Wow.
Isn't that where, like, Dracula's from or something?
Yes.
Wait, Transylvania?
I went to Transylvania.
Yeah, that's what you said, right?
No, I said Moana.
Moana.
No.
Is your wife a whiz in the kitchen when it comes to Turkey Day, or is that you?
That's me.
Or you're the more cooking.
Yeah. That's why they went to go see a movie.
That's true.
She married me because I'm a cook.
Oh, good. And did you make turkey this year or anything like that? Or
no, we went to the neighbor's house.
Oh, smart man. Also joining us, of course, is Format. Foreman, how was your Thanksgiving, sir?
Excellent.
What'd you do? Spend time with the fam, and were you the guy in the kitchen, or was it your wifey?
No, I had games to play, so I just played.
He had serious business.
He is the guru of gaming, so I'm not surprised.
Ate.
Good.
And I gamed some more.
Was that in between rounds?
Pretty much.
Can we say that you smited some turkey?
No.
Can you say it?
Some people would be offended by that.
Yeah. Alika, what about you, sir? How was your Thanksgiving? Hope it was good.
Yeah, it was good.
Good. What'd you do?
My friend Shane, his daughter was having like a fundraiser with one of her after school clubs where they take your turkey and cook it for you and then bring it back to you cooked.
No way. That's cool. That's pretty awesome. Where do they?
So my Thanksgiving was like 100 times better this time because then I only did the drinking part, but none of the cooking.
So wait a minute. Is there like a place where does somebody donate like the ovens?
I think it was at Kihei Canoe Club this year.
Oh, that's crazy.
They had an emu and they just tossed your turkey in there.
That's all
I did was dress it and then they put it in.
That's a smart idea, man. I would totally. You donate for that. Heck yeah, man.
$25.
Yeah, done deal. Absolutely. Well, was there a maximum or a minimum for the turkey size as far as the weight?
I didn't hear any rules or regs before I stuffed my bird.
They're like, sir, that's a pig. You can't. That's not a turkey.
It's an emu, man.
It's an emu.
That's what goes in there.
That's right. Well, listen, tonight is a very special evening because courtesy of a good friend of ours, the creator name dropper of the creator of Darkwing Duck, Tad Stones.
It's only been two episodes.
We're name dropping. He had a very special favor to ask of us, and we're going to be talking about Moana, and that was what he asked us. He wanted to get our impressions, the island impressions of what we thought of Moana. So that's coming up.
I don't know why you're bringing it up. You hated it.
Well, listen. We'll get to that in a minute. Anyway, I do want you guys to know that our podcast has officially moved. You guys can get us on Audioboom now, on iTunes. If you've lost the feed from iTunes, all you got to do is look us up again, search us out on NerdWatch, and you'll get the all-new episodes. It's that simple. Also, by the way, please help us out on Patreon.com, patreon.com/TheNerdWatch. We got some cool rewards for you guys. If you help us donate, want to upgrade our podcast, upgrade our video and our audio, it'd be great if you guys support the show. We'd love for you to do that.
Patreon.com/TheNerdWatch.
Apparently, we need mics. You're absolutely right.
Don't let these mics in our hands fool
don't
you.
Don't let them
we
fool
need
you.
Mics.
Absolutely. Please follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/.
We're just projecting our voices.
facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. You'll also find out there at facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. You'll find out that we are doing the premiere of Star Wars Rogue One, which is happening December 15th on a Thursday night, 7 o'clock.
Tickets went on sale as of Sunday.
As of Sunday. So they are good to go. The
Not
Nerd
Monday
Watch,
like the commercial said.
That's right.
Sunday.
We will be there. The Nerd Watch will be there in full force. We've got comic books and things to give away. We may not do trivia because it's going to be so crazy because there's going to be a mini event out there.
Like the Force Awakens was?
Yeah, kind of like we're going to have like a cosplay showcase kind of thing. So, stay tuned for that. We'll get more information for you guys on that that are watching and listening to us here on the Nerd Watch, and we'll get that for you in the coming weeks. Alika,
yeah.
I think it's time. First of all, you know what I want to do before we get to you? I want to recognize a couple of people that are here that are in the peanut gallery that are thinking about starting a podcast. And we are the worst example of of people to pay attention to when it comes to starting a podcast.
Speak for yourself.
They are from the Comic Asylum in...
Comics Asylum Columns, in Palm Desert.
Palm Desert. Their names again?
Javel. Chicks? That's your name.
Chicks?
So at their store,
man.
Comics Asylum, there's a weekly comics list of picks they did, and it was called Chicks Picks, and I thought that they were just being sexist.
That's awesome.
Because he let his wife pick the comics.
That is awesome.
I thought it was like the Chicks Picks.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for joining us, guys. We certainly appreciate it very much. Check them out if you're ever in the California area, the Desert Palm area, Comics Asylum. Very cool stuff. Well, let's get back to...
Near Palm Springs, right?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Near where they have Coachella. Coachella.
Ugh.
That trendy thing.
Yeah, that trendy thing people used to go
Hey, if the minorities play Coachella, you shut your mouth.
It's time to get back home. 333 Derry Road in Kahului. It is Maui Comics and Collectibles.
Hologram minority.
Yeah, the hologram minority would be awesome.
I'll be the hologram.
Yeah, yeah. Here at home base is the chairman of the comic book board, Alika, Maui Comics and Collectibles. Every single Tuesday, you guys can get 20% off comic books. This past Friday and Saturday was amazing deals. Grab bags, 20% off. The dollar bin became
still
a quarter bin.
Grab bags despite, I don't know, like five Chase books being won.
Is the dollar bin still a quarter bin? Or is the quarter is a dollar bin back to being
you
a dollar bin?
Until the end of the year, I'm just going to do the dollar bin as a quarter bin.
What?
So we can get fresh blood in there.
Crazy Alika.
These deals.
These crazy deals.
Crazy Alika.
I've got ants in my eyes.
That's right.
It's a Rick and Morty reference.
And then, of course, you guys can check him out every single Wednesday. It is new, full-price Comic Book Wednesday here at Maui Comics and Collectibles at 333 Derry Road in Kahului. He is going to grace us with the new releases for this week at Maui Comics.
Yeah, me and Todd can't wait.
And Collectibles.
I want to know who was underlining the books on the list. Because only the... only the crap was underlined. I'm going to read the real books, though. So starting with the good books, Batman Annual number 1. Why wouldn't you underline? You like Batman, Todd.
It wasn't me, dude.
Okay. Yeah.
Black Widow number 8, a female hero. You should be ashamed.
Yeah, when is she going to get a movie, Marvel? Let her have a movie.
You should have underlined it. That's what I'm saying.
Wonder Woman's going to get a movie.
I'm not reading the one you underlined. Deadpool Back in Black number 4 or 5. Disney's Frozen number 3, Todd, underline that one.
That's the good stuff, right?
Let it go.
Let it go, man.
The independent book. The independent.
Extraordinary X-Men number 16.
It's probably licensed.
Great Lakes Avengers number 2.
What is that?
It's all the reject Avengers. It's like a fun little play
they hang
on
around Michigan.
Yeah, basically. Just wait for stuff to happen around Michigan.
Hey, it'll be in the quarter bin next year.
There's got to be a lot of stuff.
There was popular demand.
Of Detroit?
Yeah.
It was popular demand for that kind of story because it was like a little joke in the 80s where they were doing branches of Avengers that were region specific.
Okay.
Like there was West Coast Avengers.
That's hilarious.
And then Great Lakes was like this little side story they did in Fantastic Four.
Where were the Waikiki awesome. Avengers?
Yeah. These guys are
they
so lazy.
That. It's called Amakua.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic.
What else is on that list, sir?
That's true. Invader Zim number 15. Did you underline that one? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did. I didn't underline any of these.
I know. I'm doing all your work.
Okay. IVX number 0. That's Inhumans versus X-Men. Mm-hmm. It's Marvel's sad attempt at reclaiming control of their brand.
I underlined that because I wanted to talk about how terrible that is for comics.
It is terrible. I think that somebody could do their thesis on the comic industry and like licenses and its effect on creativity but then again, you're saying Marvel sucks, so I don't even know why you bother to make that argument. I'm like having an argument with you right now.
That's
you're
right,
even
you
talking.
Are. That's right, you are.
That's how all of our arguments go.
It's true.
You're like, you know what, Todd? Oh, you make me so mad.
It's true. It does degrade into that.
Okay, Jughead number 11. Koulipari Heritage.
Hang on a second. Did anybody, by the way, speaking of Jughead, did anybody see the preview for Riverdale?
I saw the stills.
It's a little...
And I saw awesome. I saw a clip of them talking.
Yeah, it looks a little... Yeah, I thought it would
is
be look
be
better
a
than
TV
that.
Show
it's a dark...
Yeah, it's a live-action TV show.
It's a live-action, like, mystery thriller kind of thing.
It's supposed
looks,
to be dark. Yeah.
Is it
yeah,
CW?
Super dark. Yeah, it's a CW.
For an Archie...
Yeah, for an Archie thing. So, I don't know. It looked kind of...
It matches the new Fiona Staples comic run.
Yeah, maybe it's like another offshoot of Supernatural or something. I don't know. Maybe. Anyway,
yeah,
sorry, go
that's
ahead.
That's what we need.
Yeah, right?
Offshoot
that's
of Supernatural.
Natural, right.
So, Koulipari Heritage, which is the frogs of the rainforest that were on that Netflix show that our friend Tad Stones produced.
Oh, yes.
Sorry.
Man, you guys have him on one show and you can't stop talking.
He's our buddy.
Guy.
Yeah, he's our friend.
He responds when we comment on his Facebook.
That's right, he does. He's the man. We love Tad Stones.
He doesn't ignore us like everybody else.
He doesn't ignore us like Jim Lee.
Did you put out the Bring Tad Back fund?
You got to make sure to put that out so Tad knows that we have...
Yeah, I'll put a box out.
Put a box out for Tad, yeah, for sure.
We've got... Why did you underline all the... Very distracting. Mask Mobile Armored Strike Command number 1.
Oh, mask. Wow.
Mask. Magnum.
One of my favorite cartoons from the 80s.
Yes, very
good.
They're
bringing that back because they're going to do the movies.
The Michael Bay.
Not Michael Bay.
If they do the movies, that'd be awesome. I would love to see Mask.
They're
going to
do that.
You say that now, but wait till they transform that out.
You know what? I don't even want them to do the movies now because I'm getting ahead of it because I know... That now it's a rule that you if your show was in the 80s and had an awesome, goofy 80s costume, that they're not going to do it in a movie.
Right.
There's like this thing in Hollywood where they're like, no, we won't do that.
They're not even going to wear
flight suits.
You know what it's going to be? It's going to be black leather with bike helmets, and it's going to suck.
Right, because they're not going to have actual masks.
Yeah, but the best part about mask is the mask.
Is the mask. Right.
How dare you? It totally worked for X-Men 3.
Which you have prominently displayed
Speaking
in your shop.
Of,
just
you
totally discounted.
You have displayed. We have to
your,
talk
your
about
$7 that. Poster.
Yeah,
that you
we're
going
to have to talk
there.
About that later. The X-Men 3 poster that's sitting in your shop.
I wish it was framed in the shop.
So here's a good one you underlined. Monstrous number 8.
Mm. What's
good
that one?
Series. It's you describe it.
It's the image book that's
sweeping the nation. Yeah,
it's got a Japanese artist and a Chinese writer, and the writer. Just drawing on her past experiences to kind of create this fantasy epic as a metaphor for the things that she encountered growing up early on in her childhood. And it's really interesting. I've got the first three issues, and the first three issues are fantastic. And the artwork is incredibly intricate. So if you in and it's also got female protagonists, of course, and so it just
that's the main thing that has been selling. I don't, you know, and I haven't read it or anything or heard about the writing, but the art is incredible.
Crazy. You should check that out, Alika. Don't ever let Todd do that again.
And I asked him, Munchkin number 23. Just messing with Todd. We're finally getting our Reborn number 2 in.
How dare you?
Yeah, no kidding. I've been waiting for that.
Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Rick and Morty number 20, Saga number 40.
what is it, Alika? What is it, Alika?
Sex number 69. I mean number 33.
Star Wars Annual number 2.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel sucks. Written in pencil and not spelled correctly.
Sounds like Todd.
Wait, sucks. Yeah. S U X.
It's fine. Stargate Atlantis Gateways number 1.
You knew what I meant.
Suicide Squad number 7. Superman Annual number 1. Tales from the Crypt number 1.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Tank Girl Gold number 2 of 4.
Two girls, one tank.
That one's over already.
What happened at the end?
Stop it.
They got in the tank.
Okay. What did they do in the tank? What
hey.
Thunderbolts number 7. Shut up. TMNT well, Universe number 4. It's hard to read it under this sellouts you wrote over it. Totally Awesome Hulk number 12. Uncanny Inhumans number 16. And Wacky Raceland number 6 of 6.
Mm-hmm.
And then X-Files. I don't know why you underlined that. Nobody buys X-Files.
TMNT was not on there?
TMNT Universe.
Okay.
Number 4.
X-Files is great. It's written by Joe Harris. It's an IDW title. It's pretty
then why don't you buy it?
I do buy it.
I order one copy every month.
Yeah.
And I still have one copy for every month. So you're lying to these people right now. Thanks for pretending to support your local comics right now.
No, I got... I'm sorry.
Way to go, Todd.
Way to go.
I got X-Men Volume... Or, sorry, X-Men. X-Files Volume 1 and 2 signed by Joe Harris at Rose City, and I haven't really kept up with the book.
Does Joe does Joe consult with, like, Chris Carter and, like, Rob Bowman and all the guys?
And when the show came back, he was all over San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, was he?
And everybody was, like, really into the comics, and it was the first time that... Chris Carter hated the original Tops X-Files.
Right.
You can't just start giggling out of nowhere.
Yes, I can. I'm very...
It's precocious.
I'm precocious. So silly. I'm silly.
Well, stop. Listen. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so... Chris Carter really didn't like the Tops... Or the people at Tops really felt like Chris Carter and Fox didn't like what they were doing with the X-Files.
Mm.
And then it's been like a 180, like, sort of treatment. Like, they're really kind of interested in the way that they're treating the property. And that resurgence in the IDW title kind of led to Fox really picking it back up for those six episodes,
which may turn out to be more.
Yeah.
Which would be awesome. Sweet. Yeah. Well, listen, everybody. If you guys are looking for Christmas gifts this year, 333 Dairy Road in Kahului is the place to go. Maui Comics and Collectibles, wonderful comic books, retro games, and dollar bins that are now just a quarter. So check them out.
The quarter bins, sir.
Yeah, the quarter bin. The dollar bins are now a quarter. It's Maui Comics and Collectibles.
Does that apply to my Savage Dragon run?
You bought those already.
No, I haven't yet.
How dare you, Todd? How dare you? 333 Dairy Road in Kahului is Maui Comics and Collectibles. So, getting into what we need to talk about today because of what was requested. How many of us here at this table, show of hands and by voice, how many of us watched Moana?
I.
I did as well.
I couldn't get tickets.
You couldn't?
No, they're always sold out when I was
there.
So
you snuck in?
No.
And what about you, Alika? Did you have a chance to see it?
No.
Man.
It's been sold out all weekend.
So I'm the only guy that went and did my homework?
Yeah, I apparently
you
were.
Yeah, I saw it.
I think Silent Sean did as well. Silent Sean saw it as well. He may have a take on it, which we could get to. Yeah. But I don't think Foreman had a chance to see it either. I don't think anybody.
No, I bought tickets for it for tomorrow. that I got.
We really
on
should be
Saturday
talking about it next week.
So should we forever. Should we wait and talk about it next week then?
Let's talk about how we're going to talk about it next
week.
We'll
re-go over it.
How about this?
Who saw it?
How about we find out when Tad is having his lunch?
Ouch.
So that we can talk about it before he has the lunch.
Yeah, it's me and G that we're the ones who saw it.
We could always make a fake pod that we record.
Yeah, Todd is the only other guy that watched this.
Yeah,
it's a tough call, man.
That's
going to
be
hours
and hours.
Let me shut off everyone's mic but Todd's. Right? That would be great.
Before you guys get into your thing, I just want to say that Canilla Trip, because I think the most interesting thing about a podcast from Maui doing it is that you'd get Polynesian voices and Hawaiian voices saying what they thought about the movie, which is what people are most interested in. Let's not pretend not to be racist, okay? Right.
Can you sound more Polynesian when you say that, though?
Not at all.
Oh, okay. Just checking. Okay.
But really, that's what everybody, because everybody on the mainland is like, is it
could you sound like
cultural
more
I want to know if I'm allowed to get enraged as, you know, someone who's not Polynesian.
Mm.
So,
sure.
I just want to.
You really think they think it that far? Yeah.
No, they just get enraged for Polynesian people without asking.
Right.
Anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
But
I saw a YouTube video. Fair.
I'm going to tell you, Mr. Canilla Trip, a Hawaiian himself.
Mm-hmm. No.
How you
doesn't even
feel.
Look like it. It's weird.
Yeah, I'm sorry, white people. You're not allowed to get mad. He liked it.
Did he really?
Yeah, he loved
interesting. Okay, cool. Well, I don't know if we should talk about it now or later. Maybe we should just wait. Maybe we should just kind of hold it off for another week until everybody sees it.
But I can't believe that no other movies like this that has been sold out this consistently, this far ahead of time. Like when you like when I wake up in the
not
morning,
even
that
Star
day is,
Wars.
Yeah, like this
I don't know,
far
man.
After.
Maybe this was like this too.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Swan saw
it. Sold out like weeks ahead of time.
You didn't see it?
Swan didn't see it either.
Yeah, me and Swan were
no
trying to get
it.
A jailbreak today, but
yeah, no one had a chance to watch it. It's okay though. We'll Tad. Mr. Stones, we're sorry.
Be pretty
who's apparently the only one watching this show.
That's right.
We're directly addressing him.
He's going to be like, I watched another episode for no reason.
That's right, for no reason whatsoever.
That should be the running gag just to get Tad to tune in. And then and next week, we're going to have Matt Damon on the show.
Matt
and
Damon.
Our, finally, our review of Moana.
Yeah, that's good. No, we'll push it off.
To paraphrase Canilla Trip, though, and I know you guys probably have opinions, but he said, and maybe you can confirm if it was this good.
No, but we're not Polynesian, so our opinion doesn't matter.
He said something to the effect that it reaffirms what makes him proud to be Polynesian and like the way they... the art was amazing and things like that. Like
listen, I don't want to talk about story or anything, but he's right. The art, the animation was gorgeous. Phenomenal. It was gorgeous.
From what they show in the commercials, it looks incredible.
It is probably some of the best Disney computer animation I have seen, period.
Did you see it in 3D?
I did not.
I saw it in 3D.
And was it good?
The 3D was really good.
I will say that it is my review, by the way, is up at mywatch.com. You can check it out right now. It's on the NerdWatch Facebook page as well. Anyway, you can what you will see is that it is it's as if it's I say this in my review, it's like a postcard. This thing is it is beautiful. I haven't seen anything as beautiful. I mean Frozen does not look as good as this movie does. It's amazing.
Well, and this is the thing I noticed from the and I haven't seen it, so you know, whatever, but the color palettes from the different scenes that they had in the movie was so varied. Like, all these CG movies, my problem with them is they kind of bore me. And maybe part of that I'm starting to realize is because they stick with one color palette throughout the whole movie.
Right.
And it's just like you start to go to sleep.
Obviously.
And it looks
right.
like there's a lot of different kinds of scenes. Like
correct.
Like different settings that are – and like some are like really bright colors, like the neon colors when they're fighting like these
– you got to remember this is a lot creatures. Of – of course it's the island, so there's a lot of blue and green hues.
Yeah, but they didn't stick to that though,
right.
It looked like.
Right.
Well, they also went to different islands, and so it's different environments.
Right.
And there's also different weather conditions
right.
during while they're at sea, so there's different – there's different color palettes there at work.
If there's one thing that I can praise the movie for is that it has been beautifully animated.
Oh, who's twisting your arm to praise it?
I know, it just, it hurts. But yeah, we'll get into all the story details about what I thought lacked in the film next week. But yeah, it was tremendously beautiful.
Can we just hear your review?
You want to hear my review?
Yeah, I want to hear what lacked.
Okay, here's
I'm the kind of guy who can hear spoilers before a movie. It's not gonna, okay. The movie right. is.
I'm not gonna spoil anything, right. But I am gonna say this. My review.
Turns out Kaiser Soze. Okay. This is going to blow your mind.
You didn't have a
the whole time, it was the gimpy dude.
Nice.
How do you feel about that?
The chicken.
Yeah. I'm going to say this about Moana. It started off extremely promising. The baby Moana. That whole setup was adorable. She was.
I love. Wait, I'm going to stop you like
cute.
One sentence into this review and just. Mm-hmm. I can tell when you're about to take a giant dump on a movie.
That
doesn't deserve.
You act
it.
Like you've been on this show for a couple years.
Get ready. Here's the thing: is that it was beautiful. It started off great. I thought that I'm going to give you all my positives first. I thought that when we get to her as a teen. Moana, she is great. Ali'i Carvalho did a fantastic job. She is, in my opinion, the shining star of Moana, and for good reason. She is phenomenal. I thought that I thought her performance was great. I was along for the ride with her. There's one scene that I got choked up at. It was the very beginning of the movie when she's about to leave the island. That was the only emotional investment I ended up having was in that one scene with her. But throughout the film, she's phenomenal. She does a good job. Her singing How Far I'll Go, fantastic. She did a tremendous job. It was great. It was a very good representation
and do you know
of Moana.
How the talent search went and found her at all?
You know, I don't know how it went.
They gave up and then.
No, they did.
Did they really?
They did.
Did they really?
They were going to be able to cast her, like, cast the part. And then they finally found her at the last second.
She was.
And she didn't even audition, if I remember it right.
She
didn't even technically audition.
She did phenomenal. And her portrayal of Moana was fantastic. She is the best thing about that movie. I will say that for her co-star, though, Dwayne Johnson, who is Maui, was great at the beginning, but he decided to be.
Talk about him like he's outside.
Okay, he was fantastic. His performance as Maui was phenomenal.
Was he like the genie in Aladdin?
No. Here's the problem: is that he. You know what's funny is you bring that up is that he almost felt like he wanted to be that. But he wasn't. And what the problem was is that in the beginning, it was really cute for maybe the first 10 to 15 minutes. But this really boisterous kind of attitude that kept going throughout the whole movie, it started to get a little grating on me listening to him speak. And it just really started
now
to really.
You know what we go through with you.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't.
You're basically seeing yourself on screen. It made you uncomfortable.
Right. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. I consider myself a demigod. You're right. no, but
it lines up with what I think you see yourself as.
Exactly. But I think that was my main problem with Dwayne Johnson's performance as Maui is that it was so boisterous and so over the top that it never settled, and it never seemed like for me that there never seemed to be. Chemistry between Moana and Maui. There was never really that relationship that I thought that we were looking for, because in the movie we never get a once she leaves her island and how important that island is to her and what she wants to do beyond. We never get a flashback, like we never get a 2 minute or a 1 minute look back at what's going on with her and her parents or what her parents are thinking when she's gone or will she ever, you know, there's never this thing of, you know, for 60 seconds going that the father's extremely worried or he's angry. And there's never that thing like that connects us emotionally to their relationship, which I thought was kind of a bummer. I didn't like that.
They spend a lot of time with the grandmother, though.
They do. But the thing is that I really wanted to see the thing with the dad because that was where the tension was.
They showed the flashback with the dad.
Yeah, but there was never that moment where we have, like, between him. Like, I wanted to see that 30-second argument between mom and dad going, you know, Pops, you
the
gotta
30-second argument that we've seen in every Disney movie.
Absolutely,
previously?
It's important, but it's important for us to see that because
no,
you want to know
well,
that
we got to see the grandmother cover up for her.
Right? No. I get that because
and that
she,
was
but
funny.
She's not the antagonist. She's the protagonist along with Moana. I wanted to see the father who loves her daughter.
Who is the antagonist?
I would say that would be the dad at that point because he didn't want to see his daughter leave because he was very angry about the fact that she wanted to leave beyond the reef. And I wanted to see more of that. I wanted to see more of that emotional struggle between the fact about learning to let her go. That was important to me, and I didn't get that. The second thing that I thought was really bummer was the fact that she finds out that she has this really cool power. It never feels like she ever uses it to her advantage, like ever. It never she has this extreme power over the water, which it for what they make us think that she does.
I never thought felt like that.
I did, and I felt like there was this modicum of respect for her because she kept saying throughout the film she's the chosen one. She's Neo. Okay, so she's the chosen one, and never once did I think like. It never felt like the ocean was really on her side, like ever. I just never felt that. And it only popped up and became advantageous when it served the plot. And I thought, we're going to get more from that. I thought she was going to learn to harness it, or she was going to learn to put it away and say that she could do it herself. It never felt that way. So that really bummed me out. So the story and the story
she
itself.
She didn't abuse her powers, so you're bummed out.
No. It just
she didn't even. But she didn't have power.
Right.
It's like saying. Right. I mean, you've been in the ocean. Can you command the ocean?
She
like,
has.
Yeah, but she high fived it.
Addresses that in the one sentence.
Right.
In the movie, he does say that. You know, he says that the ocean is going to do what it's going to do, and it's kind of a jerk.
Right. Now,
so that,
right.
That tells her
but
that
the fact that, but
she'll
the fact,
never have power.
But the fact is that the fact that the ocean would bow to her because of what she is supposed to do.
Yeah, but I'm sure if she started throwing her weight around, the ocean would be like,
no. I wasn't asking for her to do that. What I was asking for her to do was work in harmony with it. I thought we were going to see more of that. I didn't get that. The other thing that bothered me about the movie, and this
it would
is,
have to be a Trump vote to believe that you could work in harmony with something to control it.
Yes, to harness it. Hey, listen, every
you sound
good
like
power,
you want to work in harmony with a lot of Hispanic
good,
people.
Every good superpower is like that, and you know it. I think the other thing that was really bad in the movie was the music.
The music wasn't good?
The music
didn't
was...
Didn't Ali sing?
No, here's the thing, is that she was great. That song, How Far I Go, was the best song in the movie. The stuff that was done by, I think it was done by Te Vaca. The Polynesian, the cultural Polynesian music was fantastic. Everything that had to do with English was horrible. Mm. The song Thank You by Dwayne Johnson was horrible.
I don't think Dwayne Johnson wrote it.
No. It wasn't him. It was Lin-Manuel Miranda, the guy who did Hamilton. It sucked. Jermaine Clement. Did the song
Wait,
Shiny.
You're not a fan of the guy that did Hamilton?
No.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's weird, okay. Right?
That's really weird.
Shocking.
But my favorite part about Mike Pence is that he looks like Solomon Grundy.
He does look like Solomon.
Can we get
he
back?
Does,
if they ever, if he's in Justice League Dark, yes.
Can we get
while
back
he's vice president.
Can we get back a point, please?
If the recount goes away, I'm hoping that there's this future.
Solomon Grundy.
Jermaine Clement sings a song called Shiny, which it felt like it just didn't fit in the movie at all. And it
felt like Disney paid a lot of money to put it in a movie.
It did. It was weird. And I
didn't watch it, by the way.
It wasn't that bad.
I didn't like it at all. I was just at that point. It just felt like the movie was going on too long. Like the movie, it stretched out to an hour and 53 minutes. I think it is. They could have easily cut that movie by 20 minutes, and it probably would have been a heck of a lot better. So for me, my biggest problem is that for as beautiful as it was and for as much as I really loved it, the ocean scenes and when she finds out that her people were voyagers or wayfinders, as they call them in the film, is great. That stuff is fantastic. When she gets in touch with her, with what her people were in the past, that stuff was great. It's just that the overarching story of her and Maui didn't work for me at all. And the ending felt kind of just sort of tacked on and just felt like well, we're going to do this because this probably makes the most sense and we got to get out of here. It didn't really work for me. And I just was really disappointed by the end of the film. Those guys did a tremendous job, but I just felt that the story was lacking. That's great. I gave it 2 stars. And I wanted to.
Wait, one of your 2 stars or one of Barry's 2 stars?
One of my 2 stars.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I really wanted to like it more. I really did because I thought.
Why didn't you?
I just really thought that
his. He hates people.
He feels a responsibility to ruin things for people.
If
he didn't have to be on Maui, I'm sure he wouldn't be.
Mm-hmm. Right. But anyway, I have to say that for as much as I didn't like it, I thought that Ali Carvalho's performance was fantastic. She was the best thing about the movie. I wish the story itself were better. I wish the music was better. I just don't think this is going to be a Disney classic. I just don't think that
Yeah, like Mulan?
I think Mulan is a lot more of a classic.
Oh, yeah, like Princess and the Frog?
Princess and the Frog. I named that in my review.
That's why we're bringing it up.
Yeah, that's another one that wasn't very good. No one remembers Princess and the Frog.
Nobody remembers Mulan, though.
Put it this way. People remember Donny Osmond.
Yeah, actually, no, quite a few people that remember Mulan.
Yeah.
No, but
it could be a region thing, though. Maybe they just don't remember that much where you're from.
Yeah, that could be it. I just kind of feel...
Doesn't it be like a rushing river and all that stuff?
And, I just feel like, those are... I don't know if those are examples of Disney classics. I mean, I think Princess and the Frog is...
If I
was going to go Disney classic, I would do like Beauty and the Beast or Snow White or
right.
Cinderella.
In my review, all I said was I didn't equate Mulan as a classic. What I did was I equated the message for the girls I thought was more powerful in Mulan than in Moana. Hmm. That's what I thought. I thought the message for young girls that are... moving that are
they
at that place
do their history on what Mulan actually
right
transpired.
But there was actually no love in, I mean, this is the big deal that I've been reading about it, that there was no love interest for the female protagonist,
right?
Which was great.
Which was just fine.
So wouldn't that be a little more empowering that you can be a girl in a movie without having to be fawned over by somebody?
Which was fine.
She was
I think in the film, I don't know if they address her age. She's like 13 or 14,
yeah,
I think. I'm guessing.
Teens, yeah.
She's very, very young.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with her finding
she
her prince charming
queen,
or anything.
She was already queen.
It turned the princess formula on its head because she was going to be, although she's going to be a princess, she is a chiefess. She is taking over for her dad. That's why I thought it was more important to deal with the dad and her relationship and to see that between them. I wanted to see some of that. I wanted to see him come to grips with the fact that she was going to be a woman and she was growing up and she was going to take
over.
You
think this is a little complex
and,
for
no,
what's a
you
kid's
know,
film?
And you're right. No, you're right. And listen.
It seems like what you're expecting out of the film are complex ideas, and you do have to kind of keep it skewed to your children.
And that's why I said, regardless of my review, this movie's going to make a ton of clams at the box office.
People spend money on movies, sir.
Yeah, and it's going to do good without my review, regardless of culture or color.
Which is why you figure you get your shots in while you can.
He's like, oh, you guys like it? I don't.
Yeah, he just needed to say that.
Right.
He's like, you remember The Force Awakens? Garbage.
Yeah, Force Awakens is garbage.
You guys haven't seen it? Oh, let me tell you, you guys are going to hate it.
Man, I'm so glad Barry's not here. It's great. But no, that's
what
how
did Barry give it?
I don't know. I don't think he saw it yet.
He hasn't. No. I don't think he's reviewed it yet.
He was supposed to see it last night.
Yeah. So
He's the one I'm fascinated with.
I just feel bad because I wanted to like it more.
I feel like just on the two things about the music. The music wasn't as bad as you're saying it is. I don't think that it's necessarily going to spawn 7 million YouTube incarnations. You know, I don't think that it's going to be like a
okay.
I don't think, it's not going to be a Let It Go. And if that's your criteria for a Disney classic, then it's not going to be a Disney classic.
Yeah.
But then the story isn't based on European fairy tales,
which is completely fine. I've got no problem with that.
But all Disney princess movies are.
But this is a Disney princess movie that is turned on its head, though.
Yeah, but so you can't compare it to the other ones.
What I'm comparing it to is what I've been given as far as the plot of the film, and I didn't think the plot of the film was strong enough for Moana. I'm not equating it to any other princess movie. I'm saying there are themes that are more powerful in the other movies, like Mulan and or The Little Mermaid. I think the music in The Little Mermaid is more powerful than this movie.
Well, I think you should watch it again, maybe.
I have no
not to be a jerk about it, but like I'm trying to say, like that I think that there are some really interesting themes, and one of the and Alika already mentioned one of the big ones is that there's not
a singing crab.
No, there's not.
there's a huge singing crab. He's
there's
much
not,
bigger.
There's not a prince for this princess.
That never bothered me though. I didn't have a problem with that.
But that's you're acting like these interpersonal relationships are supposed to give the plot this magnitude, this gravitas, like her relationship with her father. But I think that like the important thing that you're ignoring is that she, you know, whatever her father, whatever status he may have, the grandmother had more status, and the mother actually like had quite a bit to do with her epic journey too. So this is a very maternal lineage.
I know, I got that, but the grandmother even herself proclaims in the film that they think that she's crazy. I think that what's important though is that the antagonism was not coming from mom. It was coming from dad. So I wanted to see dad come to grips with the fact that his daughter was going to take over her tribe and was going to be the one that was going to lead.
Happy when she got home.
But any parent would be.
Wait, she gets home?
Spoiler. No, but any parent would be. I'm just saying that
Vader's his dad.
I wanted to see
you, Disney.
All I wanted to see was for the acceptance of the fact that she is on her own journey, and the fact is that any good person, any good chief or chiefess, as it were, making those decisions was making it for her people, and I wanted to see. And yes, I wanted to see her dad come to accept that instead of just hugging her at the end of the beach when she comes in. Yes, I wanted to see that as a moviegoer. I think that there would have been more. I think there would have been more of a connection for me if
well,
I saw.
Well, for somebody
that.
Who didn't have a lot of emotional investment, you had a lot of expectations.
I did.
On how a lot of these emotional relationships conclude.
I think that it's important that I think that it was more important that there was the relationship with the grandmother and the mom.
Let's put it this way. I think the movie would have been better, in my opinion. I think the movie would have been 1,000 times better if instead of just Moana looking for the demigod, I think it would have been better if it was her and her dad on that boat and them looking for the demigod. No, it may not have.
But I think the beautiful thing that is from the very opening scene, it's a maternally driven movie. Like, the very opening scene is her creating the is the female energy creating the land and
Tifiti,
yeah, and then it goes into the grandmother giving the story, and then the first dead center shot that you get of Moana is her dead center, excited and not in fear. And so I think that the empowering thing as a woman, as a feminist, and those things make you uncomfortable.
By the way, there's a girl on the Nerd Watch. Anyway,
I think that the one thing that this does different, besides having a princess who already has stature and power, is that it gives you a character from toddlerhood who's just empowered as a female without even knowing that she's going to be the chiefess, without even knowing any of that from the opening scene.
Right.
There's so much empowerment in her just being comfortable in who she
is. And once again, I have no issue with that, but when you have her dad at the beginning of the film.
Yet you want daddy to be on the boat ride.
When you have dad taking her up, ready to accept the fact that she's taking over the tribe, taking over her people, and he takes her up, and he's willing to accept the fact that he wants her to put the stone on top of that mountain and claim her right,
put your arm down.
Her birthright. Okay, thank you. To claim her birthright as the chiefess of the tribe. I think that he's ready for her to do that. What he's not ready for her to do is move beyond the island.
Because of his fear, because of his own, his own personal trauma.
But that's what I'm saying is that that's something that we need, for myself, I needed to understand from a fatherly perspective. I need to know that my daughter is safe.
What she's trying to say is he needs to have the daddy issues resolved.
I've had no parental issues, but what I'm saying, as a parent, you want your daughter. You always have your daughter
as a co-parent,
right?
And I think that's what this movie does different, is that it's so maternally driven. That it introduces that there is a father figure in the story, so that isn't like a part of her back history, is that she's with a single mom. She has like two parents and a grandmother, and so
is such a non-factor in the movie, though. When you say this whole maternal thing, she is such a non-factor in this movie.
I don't believe that's true either.
I think so.
But she's not, because she's the one who blesses it. Before the journey, she's the one that blesses the journey.
Right. But once again, for me, as a moviegoer, all I want her to do is to ease... as a mother, all I want her to do is to ease her husband and say, she's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. This is her journey. That's all... for me, it could have taken 15 seconds. All she needed to say for me was that.
When the grandma's like, I'm the older one, I don't answer to your father.
Right.
That's where they double down.
Right.
That
and they double the down women. On that. Yeah. Right. I get that.
You might need to see the movie again.
I don't think so. But all I'm saying is that I think the fact is that I felt, and this may be as a guy thing, yeah, I felt that dad was kind of pushed aside. And I didn't like that. It felt like, oh, dad.
But that's no reason to give the movie 2 stars.
I think that speaks
that doesn't mean that the plot is bad, and that doesn't mean that the themes are bad, and that doesn't mean that the story is
Todd, you're forgetting.
You got Todd all fired up.
I know, I got him all fired up again.
But I mean, like, that's one of the things, is like you're making a value call on the story.
You're forgetting who G is.
No, I
think
I'm not.
I think what we need to respect the fact that it's true. That the maternal overtones and the empowering things to women were there.
Right.
And this. And yeah, if I mansplain it sounds perfectly good to him.
Right. No, but
what I'm saying is your vitriolic reaction to that is like Dracula seeing the sun. We should expect that. That should validate the claims that this movie is empowering to women, because G doesn't like it.
The one thing that I extremely disagree with is that you don't think this is going to be a classic, but I think that in today's society, that with the amount of single parents that are raised by I think that this is going to be a classic in its own sense.
At least in Hawaii, I think you're right about that. But when I have, you know, I've had people
they're going to replace Lilo and Stitch at the outline.
What kind of affirms my view of this is like when I have people commenting on my review of the movie, and we've got someone who is watching the film, and she said that she had her granddaughter. She's watching with her granddaughter, and she asked her granddaughter, seven or eight years old, and said, the granddaughter. Anyway, she asked her what she liked about the movie, and she didn't. She kind of looked at her and didn't know what she couldn't come up. She couldn't come up with something that she liked or didn't like.
Don't bust on the kid for not being able to articulate herself.
I'm going on what the feeling of the grandmother.
She's seven, dude. I couldn't explain to you why
I get that.
I just did.
Right.
I did or I didn't. I couldn't explain why.
My daughter's 2.5, and you know what she said when she saw the movie? She's like, I am a Voyager!
Right.
And I think that's important, and I think that's also something that's going to be...
I think that there was a lot...
That's what's going to make this movie a classic.
For me, there was a lot of confused story plots and overtones and time and place, things that just didn't
make
any...
Based on what I'm hearing, that you're not saying wrong.
Right, exactly. Of course I am. But I just felt that it was something that could have been done better. And I just – and it's not – I wanted
it to
like –
could have been done better, because there could have been more men in it.
There should have been more guys in charge.
There should have been more guys.
The movie should have been about her dad.
I just ask everybody to watch it objectively. I know that this – living in Hawaii is one of those things where, ooh, we're getting a movie finally about the Polynesian culture, which is great.
I'm not looking at it from that point of view. And granted, I didn't see it. But I'm just looking at the point of view. It's like it's a kid's film.
I am willing to admit that I may have overblown my criticism.
And I've said this before in many podcasts, and again, this is me completely reacting to your reaction.
Yes.
So So long as the movie accomplishes what the movie sets out to do.
You've always said this, yeah.
In terms of its themes,
sure.
its characters, and its message.
Right, right, right.
And anything that they forget to put in there, or things that you feel
it's irrelevant.
The
yeah.
movie still works.
Right, exactly.
I didn't see it yet, so I can't really say right. that holds true here.
I
think in this sense, maybe you're not being fair to it.
I think, no, my problem is that I wanted to like it more. I really did. I wanted Moana to be the movie that I thought it was going to be 7 months ago. So that's my problem, and that's what I really wanted from Moana.
I have one question. Uh-huh. Were you ever choked up over Cinderella or Beauty and the Beast?
You know what? Never Cinderella. Never Beauty and the Beast. I would say that I...
The Lion King.
Not even when Gaston dies?
No. I have to say that there's only a few Disney movies I get choked up on. My favorite Disney movie is The Hunchback of Notre Dame. When he's everybody laughs, but when Tom Hulse as Quasimodo sings, when Quasimodo is singing that song in the bell tower about if I were in their skin, that was very powerful to me. That's the music that I wanted. He was talking about if for one day I was in their skin, what I could do. But he was Quasimodo, and I thought that was extremely powerful. The only good song in this movie. And for me, and that the only time I got choked up in Moana was at the very beginning when Mom helps Moana leave.
Okay.
That was what I wanted. I wanted to see.
That's what
I
wanted Dad to do.
All I wanted Dad to do was accept the fact that his daughter is growing up, and that's all I wanted from him. Mom understood. It felt like Dad was just being stubborn, and it felt like Dad was an idiot for not getting it at the beginning. And I didn't like that. I thought that I wanted to see an understanding between Dad and Moana. I know, and I get that.
That sometimes that does happen.
I completely understand that. But any parent is happy to have their kid home, regardless.
From a parent's perspective,
you should ask my mom that.
taking my two and a half year old,
mm-hmm.
she sat and watched the whole thing.
Right.
She's it's a 2 hour movie.
Right.
So, you know, I think that it just. That demonstrates their ability to captivate an audience.
But like I said, you have a 2.5-year-old. But as a parent, when your young one becomes a teenager and she's off at 17 and she's ready to meet the world, you become Mr. Protective. You want to make sure that she's always protected.
Well, I'd like to think that maybe I was a good enough parent that she knows how to protect.
True. Herself. True, but I'm a 40-year-old man, and my mother calls at 74, and she's worried about me. Things like
well,
that.
That's always
she
gonna
should
happen.
Though.
And she should. But you're absolutely right.
I'm not saying that.
I don't like those Nerdwatch boys you've been hanging out with, Greg.
That's right.
Right. They're a bad influence with their words and math.
Yeah, with right.
You're the host. Can't you do something about those guys?
Can't you do something about those guys? But listen, to be fair, you guys can read my review at MonoWatch.com.
I read it out loud to my wife.
I don't even know how to read it.
I wanted to like
it
more.
I don't read anything you do.
And I couldn't. But it's almost time for us to get out of here, if you can believe it.
Do we really just spend a whole hour talking
about
what we weren't going to talk about?
Considering none of us saw it.
That's right. Here's the thing.
I guess we don't have to do this next week.
I hope next week you guys have a chance to see it.
You're welcome, Ted.
And we'll get an overview.
Look what you've done, Ted. We all hate each other.
That's
Dad,
right.
It's going to be Moana Part 2.
Tearing this family apart.
That's right. You know what I'm going to? You know what I'm going to name the pod? It's going to be. It's going to say TS. I love you.
That's stupid.
It is. Hey, shut up. It's not stupid. Anyway, I really want you guys to see it. I'd love to get your impressions next week. It's going to be. I'd love to hear what you guys got to say. Absolutely.
But you want me to like out. Do impressions of the Rock?
Of the Rock?
No. Yeah.
No.
I can only do the eyebrows.
Wait. Can you do Bane as the but like with Rock?
Don't do that.
True.
Don't do that, Chihu. There was a lot of Chihu, by the way. There was a ton of Chihu.
Yeah, I can just guess from all the commercials.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of Chihu.
Do it.
No, I got to think about it.
Just say it like two words.
Oh, man. This is going to be.
No, don't do it excited. Just say it like it's two words.
Like, how would
don't
do it?
Wait,
like,
don't do it. Don't do it. This is going to be funnier than anal Jesus. Don't do it.
I don't know if I can.
Don't do it.
Hurry up, would you?
Chihu.
That's good. Thanks. So if Bane were Hawaiian, that would be, or local, that would be it right there. Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, before we get out of here, any exciting news on the anything? Anybody watch Walking Dead this week?
Yeah, they still have zombies.
Wait a minute. The Walking Dead's about.
There was
zombies?
A big
walkers. They still
there was
have
actually
the
a big body shaming.
Yeah, Alana Masterson. She had to go on there and kind of set the record straight
because it was kind of her episode, and to be nothing to do with, you know, body shaming or anything. I was just like, after the episode was over, I was like, man, we just spent the whole episode on that chick.
Like, wow. She's, you don't like that character, really?
She's all right, but she's definitely.
You
not
wouldn't
as
expect the whole.
Everyone,
you wouldn't expect the whole episode dedicated to that character.
Yeah.
Though.
Well,
and the camp they went to is definitely interesting. Like, the people they met, the storyline was awesome. It definitely made you feel how crazy the Saviors can be.
Here's my big problem about that episode in this whole season of Walking Dead. They already announced Jeffrey Dean Morgan to be Negan in season 8, so we know now that he survives this season.
But that,
so
you know,
no
what
matter
that tells
what the outcome
us,
of the season is, he's going to be around for the next one.
But in the comics, he's still alive.
Right.
So
the comics don't have to follow the book.
Yeah, it's but true. If they don't
Rick
know a way to kill
still
him.
Has a hand on the show.
The comics are the book.
We've all met Robert.
And the books are the comics.
But a lot of the groups that they're coming to meet up and that are going to die off and everything all have to interact with the Savior somehow, with Negan at the lead. It's not a big spoiler that Negan's going to be in season 8. I expect him to be through season 9.
Well, no, I'm speaking on behalf of the casual TV audience.
Sure, yeah.
Because they think this season's building towards Negan being killed at the end.
Yeah, right.
By the way,
but that's what the casual TV audience thinks.
Yeah.
This whole season is
they're going to be really upset when they find Ezekiel's head in a spike.
It's the lowest viewership in 5 years, by the way. If
I can't
even
believe you just said that.
The TV show doesn't follow the comic.
We better hope not in this case.
Not in this case, because you may have spoiled something big.
They're going to start throwing bricks through your window.
That's like 6 months old already.
Lowest viewership in Walking Dead in 5 seasons at AMC.
I kind of like watching Negan be a jerk.
And it's still better than most cable television.
That doesn't mean much, though, because it's still 11 million people watching.
I completely agree with you.
Just because it's dropping doesn't mean it's not.
If we had 11 million people watching, would we be complaining right now?
It went
our ratings are dropping, Greg.
That's right.
We're the only ones that watch this show now.
That's right.
Why are we doing this?
That's right. Anyway, before we get out of here, anything
we've all met Robert Kirkman, so we kind of know that the guy really doesn't have an idea.
That's
like
right.
A plan.
We don't. But listen.
He told me how the book ends, though.
We have got.
The only one that lives.
All I'm going to say is zombies in space.
We have got the Magnum aliens, coming up shortly. We're going to talk about what we got on Black Friday, what movies are coming out, what games we should be playing coming up very shortly. Please follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. You can find out more about our Rogue One premiere happening Thursday, December 15th, where the Nerd Watch and My Watch get together, have a great time, and premiere a great Star Wars movie. Follow us on YouTube, and you can just search out Nerd Watch Nation. And then, of course, you guys can follow us on Twitter at Nerd Watch Nation as well, and on Instagram at the_NerdWatch.
What do they have to see on Instagram anyway? We haven't posted a picture on there since
you've
like
got a whopping 5 posts.
Whopping.
You're killing it on Instagram.
I hate social media, but I've got to get with the times, obviously. I don't know.
Hashtags.
I gave you guys all the
passwords.
I hate
social media, but I love people.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's totally weird. Well, anyway, we are out of time. So for Gannon, Todd, Format, Alika, myself, G Money, and the female that was here. Peace.
Erin. She has a name.
Sean got marginalized.
I know, he did.
And our friends from Palm Desert, Comics Asylum.
That's right, Comics Asylum, we're here. So peace out, much love, and most assuredly, always stay nerdy. And until next week, we say to you guys, and stay tuned for Magnum.
Aloha.
Yoana was great.